All right, let's go for it.
Well, I started recording already.
Oh, okay. Nice. So here we are. What is it called? This Day in Stank?
Douglas Stank Songcast.
All right, so now we have to set the scene. Like, what's going to fade in? Is the song going to, like, start, open the podcast, and then it's going to fade in?
Yeah, we'll have a theme song or something.
Oh, okay, a specific theme song. What we should do then is go meta and dissect the theme song.
No, we don't know what a theme song is yet.
The Douglas Stank Podcast.
I'm the theme song, I imagine. The montage, or a pastiche. You could just throw together clips of different songs.
No.
We talk over that and say, hey, welcome to...
Nothing that's going to require a lot of work.
Yeah, okay, that's true. You don't want to put in too, invest too much just in that.
We would say, welcome to the Douglas Stank Podcast, brought to you by Pizza Bob's. Yes, Pizza Bob's. Come see us at our new location opening soon, 800 South State Street, 110 feet north from our traditional location.
Hey, that's breaking news. I didn't know about that.
Well, that's why they sponsored this podcast, to get the word out.
There you go. Okay.
This is the Douglas Stank Podcast. This is your host, Nathan. You may know me from the producing the Calm Down Catherine podcast, where I am a frequent guest host. But here I have my own podcast to share the news about the band, Douglas Stank. And here's my co-host, is Henry. What is your connection to the band?
Well, you know, I come in and, you know, I would say we are co-members, but lately...
I would, you know, you could just say you were in the band, I mean.
That's true, okay. You know what? We are two of the original founding members.
Founding members
of the band. So you don't often, you know, there are certain circumstances you don't want to hear the combination of words founding members, but I think bands is okay.
What circumstances is founding member a bad thing?
Well, I don't know. We'd have to use the dictionary and look up all the definitions of the word founding and also member. And I think you may hit a combination with those two that, you know, you want to avoid.
But anyways, none come to mind when you pointed out that there's a problem with the term, but none come to mind immediately.
Well,
like, you don't want to be a founding member of Spice Girls.
You know, it's better to be a founding member than an add-on member or a detachable member.
Yeah, like King Missile said.
Yeah, right.
All right, well.
So I'll claim that title gladly, founding member.
Legal reasons, it's tough to get the members of the band together. A lot of...
That is true.
A lot of water under the bridge. And here we are in this tough... We're during the corona times. All the bands are on hiatus. You can't perform live. Is that going tough for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been hard for us to you know, we missed at least one live show, I think. Or that might have been logistical. There was at least one live show that we...
At least one? We should be touring. We just put out music. We should be touring. Well, we took this opportunity. You know, why haven't we ever released music before? Do you want to field that one?
Well, you know, technically there were some underground cassettes that found their way burned out of CDs.
Right. People have come to our shows and they bootleg things and then they pass them around. But why haven't we ever gone to wide release with any of these things?
I think, again, we may have to consult with our band attorneys on that. But I think, you know, a fair number of our songs were improved versions by other artists. So that was a challenge. But we found a way to address that. You know, and also we were kind of busy. You know, there was a movie that was being worked on, various stages of production, pre-production mostly. We didn't really do any pre-visualization. No,
that's still in development. Yeah. Don't want to say too much to squelch that deal.
That's true. And we were working on the soundtrack and also the live stage version, you would say, or maybe no, the radio play version.
So you're saying we put too much energy into nothing. That's why we hadn't put any music out before?
Yeah. Oh, exactly, yeah.
But I'm sure it was a shock to our fans. We took the time during this corona that we have put out our first release. Now is the time for Stank. Remember, the name of the band is Douglas Stank. For those listening to the Douglas Stank podcast, sponsored by Pizza Bob's.
I heard that you could get your body sauce now, too.
That's right, Henry. The delicious dressing that Pizza Bob's has been serving all these years while keeping the recipe a top secret is now available in bottles for home use. Chipotle sauce, the delicious dressing that made Chipotle famous and kept people coming back to Pizza Bob's for decades, can now be yours at home. Put it on salads, use it as a dip, dress up those homemade burgers, or put it on whatever you like.
You know, now you can have Chipotle sauce shipped anywhere in your home in the continental United States.
Can't make it to Ann Arbor? You can have delicious Chipotle sauce shipped to your home anywhere in the United States. Go to our website and order today. PizzaBobs.net. PizzaBobs.net. What's that website again? PizzaBobs.net, where you can order Chipotle sauce shipped to your home. It is, now is the time for Stank, it's the first release.
That's it? No, I heard there was another version.
Quickly followed up by our second release featuring mostly the same songs, necessitated by problems with our distributor. It's another version called,
Your Last Chance. It has unique cover art and a limited edition track.
Called Your Last Chance because I went down to their boardroom and I said, you put our music out, this is your last chance, or we're going to another person who will put out music for $9 a year.
And then
they put it out, and then they put out the other one too. So there's two nearly identical collections of music. But we'll get into that when we talk. We're here to talk about one of the songs. We're talking about the first song on the first release.
Oh man, this one was a long time in the making. This goes back to founding member days almost.
The first song is titled I Need You, and we'll play it at the end of this podcast.
So are we going to hear a snippet?
We can play the whole thing at the end. Of course, it's available at any place that you buy music. You can buy it or you can stream it and everywhere. I like to listen on Spotify so that every time I listen to it, I know there's a fraction of a penny coming our way.
It's also on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime?
Probably tried to keep it off, but he couldn't do it.
Who was trying to keep it off? Jeff Bezos?
I know. I don't know what his problem was.
I've heard it on, if you search for it, you can hear it on Pandora. I don't think they are at the point where they will force people to listen to it, which has always been my dream, to force people to listen.
No, another option is just to leave it playing continuously on a playlist on one of those services.
Well, yes. That's my secret plan, is that I have playlists that I then play all the songs every day, stacking them pennies up.
So, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk with you about the release. I guess we could do that in the future, but I just want to hear for you, what is the most earwormy track that's out there amongst our two releases, from your opinion?
I mean, I love them all. So I think this song, it has special meaning. Like you said, this has been a long time in the making. Shows a lot about our development as songwriters. So this one certainly means something.
Yeah.
And, there's elements of the other songs, like the song is for the robots, of course.
Yes, that's a great earwormy track. You know, the binary that the robots present to us in that track.
And, of course, our deconstruction and partial reconstruction of Cotton Eye Joe, of course.
Yeah. That follows the trend of, like, you know, exposed walls or exposed flooring, the modern kind of deconstruction trend in architecture. So goes Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe. Anyways, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about...
There's too much.
I Need You, we're here, like I said, we're in the During. So our music was, this song was released in June of 2020. But surprisingly, I'm looking back through our records. The first recording session we had to restart with a demo of the song was from August 12th of 2017. If you can believe it.
And I have a fun fact. It actually started not in Analog Dungeon East, but in West. That's which is right. Hundreds of miles away.
That's right. We made the trek to our auxiliary studios.
All right. And that auxiliary studio is actually more like a pantry. It's about that size, no windows. Or maybe if there were a freezer in there, it'd be like a meat locker. It's a crime scene.
And so I like to play a clip from that first version. So let's listen.
The acoustics are unique.
So does that bring back memories, that version of the song?
Oh, yeah, that does. I mean, that takes us back. I think we were also, I think that may have already even been Periscope for the early fans.
Well, in fact, I think that session, I found the file. I was actually recording in Audacity. We used that program because it was free, and that is the budget that I usually am working with, $0. And that project was first titled Periscope because we Periscoped us recording it.
Yes, yes, yeah. That was it. We Periscoped out of the Analog Dungeon West.
And it's weird because we put out the music and I have not seen evidence that anybody other than me and you have listened to it, but when you go on Periscope, said five people were watching, which just blows my mind because, like, there's nobody at that time following our account. I mean, we had just started it.
Yeah, so who knows how many would Periscope right now if we Periscope this.
Yeah.
but now, if you think about what we were going for, what do you think first reaction, what you were going for? What feel were we?
This goes back to one of the tensions in our band in the songwriting process. I think the reasons why we're not usually allowed in the same room at the same time anymore is that you like the idea of like coming up with a song, like jamming out something and making it up. Whereas I do not operate well under that because I don't really play guitar very well in that regard. I don't know where the notes are, right? I'm actually started as a piano player, and all my knowledge of music theory is related to keyboards and not so much to guitars. But you wanted to play something. You wanted to make up something. And so I was playing guitar there and I was just descending chromatically. And then you actually came up with a part to go along with it on the bass.
Here we go. Well, see, and the other side of it is I don't know what notes I'm playing when I'm playing the notes. Because I just, learned guitar that, like a lot of people do, just by, So I have to go back later and figure out the notes. So that's why, that's right, that tension is there between, crafting in the moment and crafting, with one might say music theory.
Seem to know where chords are on a guitar. I have to like spend time researching. I usually I write on a keyboard and then I transpose it to the guitar. I have a little book that shows me where the chords are, and then I move it over.
I always get a kick of seeing your sheet music, and then I try and figure out a way to see it as tab.
Oh yeah, I'll write out tab. That's definitely.
Yeah. All right. So
faintly you might hear drums. I can guess that at a later date I added drums. I believe here at Analog Dungeon East. And it sounds bad enough that it was probably me playing drums. You can tell when it's me playing. If you hear a Douglas Stank song, you can tell when it's me playing drums. If there's only bass and snare, because I don't have time for the other drums. I'm not. I've got good rhythm, but I don't have the patience to practice the coordination necessary for all those auxiliary drums.
But if you think about it, whatever is needed in rock other than bass drum and snare drum and hi-hat? I mean,
well, you just said a third one. You just said a third drum.
Hey, but that's just played with another foot. You don't even need a stick. if you have 2 feet and one hand, one arm, you can play most good rock, everything that's core. Unless you're playing Wipeout, then you're in trouble. But
oh, geez. You
know, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for surf. Oh, I can't say we don't have time for surf rock, though, because we have something special coming in the future.
Let's keep that under our hats.
Yeah.
If we want to move on, we have another clip in the tortured history of this song. And it is a clip at the end of that same month in 2017. I first added words.
What is it that you want? Tell me what is it that I need? I try to listen the best that I can, but I'm so broken. Can I be? Help me forget myself. You know I'm a failure. You know I'm a hater. Look at me, I'm down on my knees. Give me a sign, I need some relief. Help me, look at myself, I need you.
And, we just heard it with my singing, so to speak. And that again was recorded on Audacity. And I really think that everything was new on that. All the instruments, that was a new set of takes. It didn't incorporate any of the previous version. Is that what you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think...
It might have been... It's possible it was recorded at the same time. I mean, earlier... I don't remember where we were, but it's possible some of that was recorded at Analog Dungeon West, but those are different takes. I think when we had a different sense, and then later added the words.
That's right. Okay, so, and one of the things I've always wondered is, tell me about these words. What's happening? What was your vision for these lyrics? I mean, you heard that music, you had a vision. Take us there.
You know, it's my job to come up with the words if I'm going to be the singer. I didn't ask to be the singer. You refused to be the singer. I think when the music's playing, and then I think I imagine that it's one of these kind of songs where you're barely really singing. You're kind of very much screaming. I don't normally want to scream it so much. Like, it's not like it's the most screaming song. Actually, it's funny because somebody, one of our collaborators works with, she heard some of our songs, and she thought her son likes music that she thought, oh, that's screamo, like, which is that's the term she used. Like, oh, do you play screamo? She said, like, it's weird because I think he really likes what he likes. I think is more shoegaze, noise rock kind of stuff. These words are about the most important kind of love. So there. Can I be cryptic, or do I have to draw a map?
It's like an onion.
Like an
there
ogre.
There are layers. You know, this is... You're so obtuse with that stuff sometimes, though.
Well, I think if someone wrote out the words or tried to listen, I think they could get some of what I'm driving at. I mean, it's not... I'm not really trying to hide what it's about.
So you're telling me there's a secret code if you skip every other word.
Yeah, it's like numerology. It's like one of those Nostradamus things. You put all the words into a grid... And then you can find words in, like, it's a crossword puzzle, and it'll predict the Kennedy assassination, which it's a little late in predicting, but it's there.
And that's 100% accurate. That's like kind of prediction.
It's 99.8% accurate.
So you're saying it's either an artichoke or it's an onion.
It's an ogre. Ogres have layers. Onions have layers.
Are you calling me a donkey?
Takes one to know one. But here, at this point in the song, so I think if we played that whole clip, that jamming just keeps going for like 3-4 minutes. Even though the words, if there were no instrumental parts stuck in, the words are like a minute. But being that I'm not very technically oriented jamming, right? I'm not really the kind of guy who's going to be able to jam out a new song. I just played the same part for like 4 minutes. And it's the simplest thing in the world, right? So listening back immediately, like, you know, this song needs another part. This is really where the songwriting turns. This song needs a second part. And so at one point, I think it was in February of the next year, like, keep in mind, this is not like this is the first song we ever wrote. This is the first one of our new release, but like, we've written other songs. And in the meantime, like we said, people have been bootlegging things when we play them live and things at shows. So there's other songs out there floating around. This isn't like we're that, you know, mentally challenged that this is the only thing we've ever come up with. But there was an attempt to come up with another part. Let me see if I can find the next clip. The song needs something more. It can't just be, you know, I think a minute 27 is what the song would be otherwise. So I was like, we got to add something. We got to have a middle eight or something. I heard that term somewhere. So I said, we need one of them middle eights. That was our attempt. What did you think?
There it is. Yeah, I think the Beach Boy that it's something about that's got a 4.2 liter middle eight, something like that. That's where you first heard.
A little Deuce Coupe?
Yeah, that's it. It's got a middle eight. Got a middle eight now.
Is that what they say?
And that's why I don't sing. Yeah, right, they sing about that.
I was thinking of some Beatles songs.
Oh, like Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
There we go, okay. All right, so...
A Ticket to Ride, High Hide.
I think you made the right... Initially, I was pretty opposed to pulling that out because, come on, I mean, listen to that, listen to the bass. I mean, you could live comfortably in that bass line.
Yeah, now... That the problem is that it doesn't really work with the rest of the song. Like, it's too much of a change. Like, you want to change from a regular part to the middle eight. Let me play you a clip of me attempting to jam that into the version we had back. Did that work?
I think it worked, man.
it's silly. One thing about that version is I've replaced my incompetent drumming with our good pal Dr. Rhythm.
Yeah, Dr. Rhythm's a recluse. Won't come to interviews.
Dr. Rhythm is, of course, a 1980s era drum machine that I required under shady circumstances. And, yeah, I don't really know how to program it, so I tap it with my fingers.
That's Dr. Rhythm? Then who was that sitting at your drum set? I thought that was Dr. Rhythm.
Oh, that's just a bum I hired to protect my drum set.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think that guy was as precise as the beats that we were laying down.
He costs too much to play drums. We can't afford, like, with our $0 budget.
It only gets you so much drums. I do have a $0 drum set in the basement. It's a kid set, and it may be featured in the future. But but there's some studio wizardry
featured in the future. That's the kind of wordplay. So you should be the lyricist songwriter. You could feature in the future.
Oh man, look at that! Feature in the future. That's too
feature
much.
Feature in
like,
the future with your Fetcher lyrics.
Feature in the future with the chalice in the palace. That's too jumbled.
Anyway, so. Like, having that version of the song, I didn't think that worked at all. So that basically set that song aside. Like I said, we were doing other songs. We were doing other things that maybe we'll hear later releases But that song just stayed aside. And then we came into this time of Corona, and the time came like, well, let's really get together. People can't enjoy us in the county fairs and backyard weddings and bowling alleys that they come to love us in. So let's allow everybody to have a backyard wedding or a bowling alley in their own home by putting our music out there for the broad audience. But I don't mean just women. I mean mass audience.
Dr. Rhythm would be all over you for that one.
So we'll play the finish song at the end of the podcast here. We've been teasing that. We've been promising that. You know, those brave people who've actually sat through and listened for the whole however long this has been going, 2 hours maybe? But in that meantime, our budget grew to $0, and I got a new free program to record. A very good program, Cakewalk, became free because, from what I've heard, is a crazy billionaire bought it and wanted to have it free. But otherwise, it's a very good program. And so, not that it makes us sound better, but it makes it easier to mix together music. And so, we got this Corona time, and I decided that we were going to dust off this song. Actually, there isn't much dusting. I re-recorded it completely. Didn't use any part from the Audacity demos that we played earlier. And created the version that we have out at every store available today. Well, what's your favorite different part of the new I Need You song?
Favorite different part?
Keep in mind, well, absolutely everything is different.
Yeah, you know, the solo was pretty solid. And now I'm hearing though Cakewalk contributed also to that solo.
What do you mean?
Is that what you were telling me earlier?
I don't know what you mean.
The synth solo.
Oh, one of the new elements of the song was the synthesizer part. Let me play a clip of that. All right, so I played an isolated track of the synthesizer. Now, what were you saying? Were you saying some insulting remarks in my direction about the source and origin of that fine musicality?
No, I'm just saying.
Like I said, the keyboard is my wheelhouse.
There you go, okay.
And figuring out how to use software is in my wheelhouse. Some people might be like, wow, how is he so skilled at playing that those finely tuned arpeggios? And like, here's the thing, maybe what you're referring to, I call it one of the tools of the trade, one of my secrets, that there's a built-in arpeggiator, so all I played on that were the chords and then my choice in what button to press and what setting to pick in the arpeggiator made it sound like that,
and just at the right time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And there's some delay, and there's choice of tone and all that sort of stuff. But that really added a different element to it. But I think when it comes to songwriting, I think the biggest change is I got away from the idea that the song needed a middle eight, but I did write, actually using the guitar, not on a keyboard. I wrote a second part, guitar part. And oddly enough, you had written the bass part based on my original very simple chromatic guitar part. You'd written a bass part, and then the second guitar part I wrote based off your bass part. So all the parts are related, and sometimes they all play at the same time, but the song then starts off with this new part. Let me play an isolated guitar track of it. Alright, so then that becomes like the new beginning of the song, kind of building to what had been the main part of the song. Also pads out a song that would otherwise be a minute and a half, so that the release version is, I don't know, almost 3 minutes. Incredible, isn't it? I mean, I'm a punk rocker. What can I say?
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, God, that's the thing too. I mean, I'd say we can destroy all solos just about. You know, the it's not the synth solo. I mean, that's coming at it in a different way. But I mean, the idea of guitar solos is just so.
Are you saying this because you do not have the solo on this song? That there is a solo that I sat with you and invited you to play the solo, and in fact you weren't satisfied, you didn't like what you were going for, so I had to go ahead here at Analog Dungeon East and then myself record the solo, although I am technically impaired when it comes to this.
But see, that's still punk, because
what I had to do is I had to write out the tablature of the appropriate pentatonic minor scale and stick to those. Mm-hmm. It's actually based on the solo you weren't able to or weren't willing to commit to. So you get credit on it. But it's interesting to think about this, because is your constant bashing of my synth playing, is that some sort of jealousy? For although you are correctly credited as co-writing of this song, how much of your actual instrument playing do you estimate appears on this track?
On this track?
On this track, what percentage would you say
is
you?
Even if it wasn't removed from the track.
What percent? Just ballpark. What percentage would you say? Like, how much of the singing was yours, or the guitar playing? How much? Well, you know what? You put a correct answer. 0% of this song.
That's because you cut out the awesome bass.
I redid the bass. The recording that we had from Audacity, was not going to work. So it's not. It's not actually bass guitar. It's actually a synth bass. But it is what you wrote. It's what you wrote. But
there you go. So I get a composing credit on this one.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
All right. Moving on.
But when we perform this live, it's going to really tax me to have to be on stage playing every instrument and singing.
Oh, no, I can easily play those parts. That's no problem.
Okay. Well, sometimes you won't come down from the mountaintop when it comes time to record.
Well, okay. Well, now I've had technical difficulties.
Maybe it was
to hear that EB line one more time about my technical difficulties.
maybe it was your attitude towards the words. You were like, what do these words even mean? Until someone explains it to me, I will not put down a single note.
Hey, you know, come on. I don't mind it if Michael Stipe comes by and just craps all over the place.
Is that what it sounds like? I write lyrics as well as Michael Stipe wipes his ass. That's my takeaway.
No, I think in all seriousness, this track does rock. I won't take that away from it.
Can't take it away from me. Oh, no.
And I think I still get a quarter penny every time it's played, so.
Well, we'll find out. Because the bean counters, they say, we don't know. Because some of these stores, they don't report for 3 months, so I won't know how many pennies we've earned yet. Remember, we got to make up that $9 that we paid to distribute it. I'm not sure. ASCAP. We registered as ASCAP songwriters.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Have you lost your ASCAP?
I have to look and see if I can find it.
I heard that's the next stage that we're. All the governors are going to get together. That's going to be the next regulation. We're all going to have to wear ASCAPs.
You know, we didn't register Dr. Rhythm to have his own ASCAP, too.
Whoa. We're going to cut that out. We're going to bleep that out because we don't want anyone coming forward and claiming that we didn't. Dr. Rhythm only appears in that demo. He did not actually appear in the final recording.
Yeah, that's right. No, Dr. Left out Dr. Rhythm. No. You're right.
was he, were, did you, then you drummed and then replaced it, right? There's a way to replace?
No, this one is, used sampled drums.
Oh, sample, okay. Yeah, so we didn't even have to worry about Dr. Rhythm in this. But he doesn't get a cut.
Yeah, he's currently in a box sitting, somewhere, unplugged.
Hey, don't judge us, though. He's happy to be there.
No, he knows why he's there, and, he's gonna turn his life around.
Yeah, and you know, this is, we tried every other way.
Do you have any further thoughts on the cultural, massive cultural impact the song has?
Well, it still hasn't had a chance to have its full impact, but I think people will hear it and they will think that Jesus Lizard and perhaps Nirvana have ripped us off in their own way.
Yeah, that we wrote this song, then traveled forward in time. So as not to obscure those bands, I don't know anything Jesus Lizard. So,
well, you know, they're just kind of like we, in the sense, like we have. I never really have listened to a full album of theirs or a full track, but I think we've absorbed them in the the Zeitgeist? We've pulled in.
I think
angular rock, and we couldn't help it.
This is why you're always looking down upon me in the band structure, because you're always throwing around these Jesus Lizards, these Jesus and Mary Chains, Jesus Twins, everybody. I will never be good enough for you, will I?
Well, you know, come on, we all.
I mean, it's noisy like Jesus and Mary Chain.
You've got your public image too, and I think that you've absorbed that in your own way and filtered it and processed it. I'm not saying that we've copied any of these groups. They become a part of you and you absorb it, you filter it, and you create from it, just like the classical, just like any artist.
The good thing about copying and stealing from the classical is that they're all in the public domain.
Well, literally, if we need to do that, well, you know, speaking of, can we preview any future tracks? I guess we shouldn't preview anything in the future.
Well, there'll be, you know, another episode will be another song. You know, we got to go through the songs in this first release, the first two releases, I should say. And then, of course, we're going to have the goal. I set this crazy goal in the beginning of the corona. I said, well, at the beginning of the year, even before the corona, I said, you know what? I want to put 20 songs out in 2020. 20 for 2020. Hashtag 20 for 2020. Can we make it there? We have 5 out so far. Have another release coming out soon. Keep your eyes open. You don't think we're going to make it.
Yeah, I hate to be all doom and gloom, but 20 tracks.
Do you think that for 20 tracks you could maintain the amount of input that you did on this song for 20 whole tracks?
Oh yeah. Line me, yeah, set me up for that. I want more input. I will be there. I will find a way. Now you have an advantage. You have a rock setup space. I have a homework computer with a $10.
That doesn't sound very punk rock at all. What are you? Are you living in somebody's basement or something? I don't understand what's going on.
I burned all my homework. That's how punk I am. I'm so punk, I'll tell you how punk I am.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
No, you know, you got to deal with the reality of what the Rona does. And sometimes, you know, you got to budget for computers that go above and beyond what you need them to do, and you have to steal them from other parties.
It's not about computers, it's about rebellion.
Well, computers, yeah.
Do you have anything else to plug? You know, we have, like I said, we have the songs, they're available everywhere, stream on Spotify. You said Amazon something or other. If you'd like giving money to Jeff Bezos, you could buy them.
Actually, we're Amazon Unlimited, we're not Amazon Prime. Don't go with that trash. We're Amazon Unlimited. We're in the Apple Store.
Apple Store.
We are, what else?
I mean, Spotify. you could buy the songs on Amazon.
Yeah, I bought them. I bought them already.
Really?
Yeah. What do we give away? We give away some swag when people buy the song.
I don't know why you would promise that.
Damn.
Okay. I don't know what was the plug, which our sponsor was Pizza Bob's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, United States, Earth.
Hey, did you hear the news?
What news is that, Henry?
Pizza Bob's is moving 110 feet north to 800 South State.
Wow, all my favorites are 110 feet closer to campus. All the delicious pizza, milkshakes, oven-baked subs, calzones, and of course the world-famous chapatis that I love at 814 South State Street will be moving, but only 110 feet to 800 South State Street, the new home of Pizza Bob.
Yeah. So now you know where to go if you want to go to Pizza Bob's.
How exciting! All the great food of this Ann Arbor institution will now be on the corner of South State Street and Hill.
800 South State.
The new home of Pizza Bob's!
800 South State!
The new home of Pizza Bob's!
800 South State! Listen! Listen with your ears!
All right, well, I thank anybody that was still listening, and join us for our next episode when we talk about some other song.
Yeah. We will be dropping. I don't know if dropping is the appropriate word.
I think you drop things till they're hot. Thank you for listening. You can follow me, Nathan, at Stank Douglas. You can follow Henry at Stank _ Douglas. And now the song, I Need You.
Cockroaches into your brain, because I'm against that too.
She needs a podcast just to calm her down.
Calm down, Catherine!
Coming to you weekly, it's Catherine.
I didn't learn to tie my shoes until I was like 8 years old.
And her special guest.
I didn't actually study.
Yes, I have dead birds in my backyard.
No topic is off limits.
Taco Bell, I have a lot to say about Taco Bell.
She tells it like it is.
Chocolate diamonds. Our garbage.
If you have a problem with it, tell it to the Calm Down Catherine, the greatest podcast in the history
before
of
Before you
man.
Try to kick out the toenail in someone else's eye, you should remove the toe from your own. That was from Jesus.